Father, we worship you. As we come to share your word this morning, we recognize that it's the word of God, the living God, whose ways are far as the heavens are from the earth. We recognize our inadequacies as we come to teach it and as we come to preach it. So, Father, I strip myself of every confidence in my knowledge, in my preparation, in my ability. And I hide myself under the shadow of your mercy. And Father, Lord, by your mercy, Lord God, you will anoint my heart and my lips afresh. Give me fresh unction and grace so that your word will flow out of me like a stream of living water. That the same unction and anointing will be on the ears and the hearts of all of my brethren, so they will receive the word with the same accuracy, with the same precision, with the same light with which you release it in the name of Jesus. That, Father, as your word goes forth, it will accomplish an eternal work in our wills, causing our wills to be more submitted, in our minds, causing our minds to be more illuminated with the light of the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and in our emotions, causing our emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as your word goes forth, let yokes be broken. Let blind eyes be opened. Let deaf ears be unstopped. Let the lame leap as a hart, and the strength to be doers to be given and imparted into every heart in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as you go into your word, I duck under the covering of my fathers, Pastor Ruby and Mommy Sarah. And Father God, as I teach this morning, as I preach, help me that by the grace upon them, Lord, I will my heart to be aligned to tap into that grace in fullness, so that, Lord God, this word will accomplish an eternal work, a building up of the Christ in each and every one of us in the name of Jesus. Let glory go to the name of Jesus. Let blessings be our portion. As I pray, oh God, Lord, to teach, Lord, help me to be concise. Help me to be precise, so I will not say unnecessary things, but as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. Help me to bring forth things both new and old, according to your word. I yield myself unto you. Help me to learn of you, even in this time, that your name may be glorified and your purpose in our hearts and lives be established. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And we started this last year, and the last week, or 2 weeks ago, we were here and we were looking at Colossians chapter 1. I just want to give a brief recap just to share with you and remind us of what we said the last time. That the book of Colossians was written in AD 60, and it was written by Paul. Paul was the one that dictated the letter, but Tychicus and Onesimus were the ones that actually wrote it. Okay, so it was written by Paul. So they were just the scribes that wrote it. These are Paul's thoughts. These are Paul's heart. In fact, the heart of the Holy Spirit through Paul unto us. And Paul wrote this letter for a specific purpose. It was to correct strange doctrine that was in the church and to establish the brethren in present truth. And that's so key. And that's the work of God's apostles and prophets. They are the foundation of the church. And so they are the ones that establish the church on the truth. The Bible says the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. And that truth is from the hearts of fathers. Amen. And when that truth comes out, it comes out with power, comes out in the demonstration of the Spirit, and that one establishes God's people. So they will no longer be tossed to and fro. Amen. And that's what Paul was doing. So we had two problems in Colossae. We had legalism, where strict observance of religious observances and sacrifices and meat and drink and observing the moon was a means of acts of gaining approval in the sight of God. And Paul said, no, that's not correct. And the other one was Gnosticism, which is a mixture of religion and philosophy. Error is like ice cream. There are many flavors, okay? So, but whatever it is, the truth will dispel everything. Amen? So Paul really wrote the book of Colossians to say these two key things. One, that Christ was totally superior to principalities and powers. Okay? And every wrong doctrine, philosophy, religion, whatever, that as far as God was concerned, Christ was the gold standard. Amen. All right? And this is because Christ created principalities and powers, believe it or not. Okay? He made all things. Bible talks about thrones and dominions. Look at Colossians 1:16 very quickly. Okay? So he made all things. For by him were all, let's read it together. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or what? Principalities or what? All things were created by him and for him. So how won't he be greater? Amen. So he made it. He made them. All right. And he's the head over them. Let's look at Colossians 2 verse 10. Very quickly. Thank you. All right. Let's read it together again. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. The Bible says that he spoiled principalities and powers and made an open show of them, triumphing over them in the cross. And the Bible says he was exalted far above. So they're not even mates, God and the devil. Satan is our own adversary, like Pastor has taught us so many times. He's not even in God's class at all. You talk about order, okay, order of being. He's not even in your class in Christ. Amen. Talk less of God's class. Amen. Let's give God a super hand. Amen. Alright, so it's so important to understand and let your faith key into this. Look at Colossians 2 verse 15. Thank you. Colossians 2:15. And having, let's read it together again. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. It wasn't private. It was public. Heaven, earth, all creation. Alright? Triumphing over them in it. That is in the cross. Okay, the Bible says, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It was a trap, but they didn't see it. Because they don't have wisdom. The wisdom of God. Amen? And so that's how God's going to defeat Satan every time in our lives. Amen? Upon this rock of wisdom, God will build you and I, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. Amen. So that was the first reason, that Christ is superior to all principalities and powers. He made them and all that. And then that God has a glorious eternal purpose to reproduce Christ in us. Amen. All right. That's God's master plan. He calls it a mystery. And he says that it was hidden, and then by revelation, he unraveled that mystery. And that's what apostles and prophets do. You know, they unravel the mystery, deep hidden secrets of the purpose of God, so that the saints of God can understand the purpose and then can key into that purpose to fulfill their destiny. Amen. So now look at Colossians 1:27 to 28. Let's read it again together. Amen. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Next verse. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Amen. God wants you and I to have all wisdom. It is possible to have all wisdom, because wisdom is part of our inheritance. Bible talks about the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That my blessing that might show the principle and pass the manifold wisdom of God. So God's wisdom is your portion. Amen. It's my portion, and God wants us to have it. God wants us to live by it. He wants us to walk in it. He wants wisdom to be your sister. As close as your natural sister is. Friendly, you watch over her, talk to her every day. Understanding to be our kinswoman. So that you'll be familiar with wisdom. You will understand the will of God from your right, from your left. You will understand the deep things of God. They're not hidden from us. Amen. And he's saying here that he has to warn every man so we don't fall short. It's a warning that this wisdom, God, this is why Christ died. He didn't just die to get you born again so that then you can then live a life, you know, that is successful on there. That's not the reason why he got you born again. The purpose is to reproduce the wisdom personified in us. Amen. Okay, so Christ is wisdom. Bible talks about Christ, the wisdom and the power of God. And God wants to reproduce him perfect and entire in you and I. And we're going to align with it in Jesus' name. We're going to allow him to finish that work in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's what Paul wrote it for. That don't all these silly things that are going on, they are not important. This is the purpose. And upon this rock you will be established. And you will not be tossed to and fro in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the purpose of God. Now, how does God reproduce Christ in us? The first thing, of course, is that we get born again. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. And all things are become new. So being born again is a supernatural recreation of our spirits. A transformation on the inside. In an instant. Where the spirit goes from a state of spiritual death to a state of spiritual life. Amen. But it is limited to the spirit. Because man has three parts. Man is a spirit. He lives in a body. And he communicates with his environment through a soul. So man has three parts. So the part that gets born again is the spirit. And God then, by eternal life, having recreated the spirit, then wants us to have that life more abundantly. Look at John chapter 10 verse 10. Bible says, the thief cometh not. I can't hear you. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So it's talking about measures. More abundant, obviously, is more than life. Okay? So life is the substance inside God that makes God God. It is not living forever. Everybody lives forever. Whether you have life or not determines where you live forever. Amen. Amen. So this is a Bible study, so it's important to break it down so that we can all understand the fundamentals of our faith. Amen. Okay, so that's how we get born again. We get born again by having life in our spirits. But then it's our responsibility to then cooperate with the Holy Spirit and with God, using the blood, using the word, and using the help of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, to pump that life, as it were, from the spirit into the soul and into the body. Amen. So that spirit, soul, and body will then be totally occupied with the life of God. Amen. Amen. The Bible says the kingdom of God is like a measure of leaven, which a woman put in three measures of leaven, which a woman put in a loaf. Okay? And, you know, until the whole was leaven. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. That comes to my mind now. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, what? Blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the purpose of God. Amen. That we will walk in the fullness of the Christ. And that is what God is looking for, so that he can then release upon the church the fullness of the power of the Spirit without measure. Amen. The same anointing that was upon the Christ. Amen. So that anointing comes upon us in his fullness, so that then we are then equipped to be able to do every good work. So that's the first thing. God gets us born again. Right now, having gotten us born again, the next thing is that God wants to establish us in us a foundation. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 to 2. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto, I can't hear you, unto, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, next verse, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment, next verse, and this will we do if God permits. Now, Pastor has told us so many times, you know, when you are building a house, you build a foundation. Then they come and inspect it. At least they are supposed to come and inspect it. Amen. Okay. All right. So they come and inspect it to make sure that you are built according to specifications. Amen. And then when they now give you a permit to then continue to build unto perfection. Now, if you don't have a foundation, then they will not give you a permit. And you know, in the physical, you can see them, but in the spirit, you can't see anybody. You can't change anything. You must have that permit. And that's why, no, brethren, we are trusting that God is going to help the church. Know that the church, you know, we're going to grow and have a foundation. Many times we don't have a complete foundation. Bible talks about, I heard this from pastor, talk about the crooked places being made straight, the rough places being made straight. Crooked means wrong doctrine. There's wrong, there's error. So you can't even use it at all. Then there's rough place where the knowledge is incomplete. What is a foundation? A foundation is complete head knowledge of these principles that we've spoken about: baptism, the resurrection and eternal judgment, faith towards God, you know, and all that. A complete head knowledge, then complete revelation knowledge of those things, and then the blade of experiential knowledge. So you've experienced to a measure God healing us. Amen. You experience to a measure, you know, the revelation of the hope that is in Christ Jesus. That hope motivates you. You know, you experience. It is then that God then gives you the word of perfection. If you don't have it, you will say, it's not possible. How can we be perfect? Nobody for anybody to be perfect. It is possible to be perfect. The Bible, in fact, God expects us. Bible says, this we wish even your perfection. No, so perfection is not even, with God, is not even a big deal. It's the beginning. Because we need to be perfect and mature to be able to carry the glory. Amen. Let's put some scripture behind. Look at 1 John 2:5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him, individual, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So it's important. The Bible says, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Let's read it together. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God expects it. Amen. And we're going to get there in Jesus' name. Amen. So that word of perfection is important, you know, and it's the wisdom. It comes when the foundation has been laid, then God now gives you a permit, and then we can then build on to perfection, okay, and then grow up into him in maturity. So Apostle Paul was preaching this and was showing the Colossian brethren that this is the mystery for which Jesus died. Amen. So that this can become a reality. And how do we experience it? By submission to apostolic and prophetic teaching that comes from that comes out of spiritual fathers. Amen. By obedience to their instruction and by the lifestyle of praying in the Spirit. Okay, so you need to be submitted. So if you have a submissive heart attitude, you know, particularly to the vessels that God is using. Okay, you honor them, you love them, and then you know you obey their instruction. No, and of course then you pray. You're praying in the spirit. You know, so that helps us to be able to generate great spiritual power, so that by that spiritual power we can overcome religious forces that keep men in bondage and keep men in error. Mark, make no mistake, brethren, it's important to say this, that error is not an idea, it's a force. Error is a force. There are powerful religious power, talks about seducing spirits. And they come ever so slightly. So when you are thinking in your mind, you are already at a disadvantage. Because these are spiritual forces. Bible says our ways are movable, that thou mayest not know them. 1 minute, you know, you don't agree. The next minute, you find yourself singing the same song. They're very, very wide, very powerful. And they operate upon the soul. They operate in the air upon the soul. So that and that's what you get all these things that are going on now, you know, talking about the homosexuality, all that. That's what you think it is. It's a spirit. It's a force. And it's coming. And we just thank God for his mercy. Amen. That we have the truth. Amen. But if we don't receive a love for the truth, then you can be carried away. Look at 2 Timothy. Amen. Is it 2 Timothy? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think. Yes. No, verse 10. Somewhere there. Yes, thank you. Let's read it together. And with all deceivableness of what? So unrighteousness can be deceptive. It is deceptive. They don't know. They think that they are thinking correctly. It's when you compare it to the truth that you see they are thinking upside down. Okay? With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because. Let's read it together. Because. We are not among now. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's why they're deceived. Once you reject the truth, you are going to believe a lie. There is no middle ground. There's no truth lie. Doesn't work. Only in your mind. There's no truth lie. So brethren, we need to believe the truth. Amen. And contend for the faith. Amen. We must contend for the faith. Stand your ground. Amen. But you can only stand when you are established upon the truth of the word of God. Alright, so that we are not shaking level. And that's why we spoke about having Amplified. Okay, wow. Amplified version. Let's read it together. And by unlimited seduction. Unlimited seduction. Wow. To evil and with all wicked deception. For those who are perishing, going to perdition, because they did not welcome the truth, but refused to love it, that they might be saved. Let me ask you a question. To what degree do you love the truth? Because there is absolute and is also relative. Okay, they rejected it absolutely. But to us that have it, to what degree do we love the truth? How often do you read it? When you hear it, do you go back to it? Do you meditate it? Do you study it? To that degree, are you established? You can be partially established. You can be three-quarter established. So that by reason of use, something comes against you that God expects is fair, and you have not been as diligent, God forbid in Jesus' name, that will not be as been as diligent as you should have been, and then thing comes and sweeps you away. It will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But brethren, we need to do what this preacher says. Welcome the truth. When people tell you the truth, do you accept it? Or do you argue? And you, uncle, that you are talking. The truth didn't come to them. It came to you. Amen.
Their own time will come. This is your own time. Bible says, apply your heart unto instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. That's how much we love the truth. You apply your heart to it. You apply it. You apply your ears to it. You never stop allowing yourself to hear it. So that the more you hear, the more it saturates your mind and sets your mind straight. So you can see clearly and understand what the truth is. Amen. We will not be swept away in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, so this is what Paul was saying. That the brethren needed to be established upon the truth of God's word to overcome the spiritual forces. Okay. And we do that by submission to authority, obeying the instruction and the lifestyle of prayer. Now we saw in verses 1 and 2, we read verses 1 and 2 last week, that apostles are special messengers of God, whom God has given to the church, and they give direction to the church and show us how to fulfill the purpose of God. Amen. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. Thank you. Let's read it together, brethren. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Next verse. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. Put your name there. May give unto you, Kuneshokoya, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Next verse. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye, Kuneshokoya, put your name, may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Next verse. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Next verse. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So God sends apostles and prophets to give us this. They prayed. Is somebody that has it that can give it? Okay, you can only give what you have. So they pray it upon you, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's come through the fathers. We thank God for the restoration of the word, you know, in the mid-1950s through Papa Hagen. And, you know, all the way down, you know, that has been coming on. So, I mean, it's God's word, but it's come down to you through someone who heard it, someone who's walked in it, and all that. And that's how you and I got it. Amen. But that spirit of wisdom is two things: wisdom and revelation. Let's say together: wisdom and revelation. Okay, so they're not the same. Revelation is the direction, wisdom is the instruction in detail to be able to walk in that direction and get the achieved purpose. Amen. Amen. So it's a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay. In the knowledge of him. Let's go back. Right. Next verse. That the eyes of our understanding, that's our minds, be what? Enlightened to know the holy riches of the glory and the exceeding greatness of the... Put it this way. I had pastor say this. He says, who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and what we have available to get what we have in Christ. Amen. So it's who you are, what you have, the riches of... Brethren, there is glory. Talk about, there is glory in knowing Christ. Amen. Yeah, and it's not a physical glory alone. It's a spiritual glory. Amen. All right, the kind of glory that Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration showed his disciples. It's as if he took it off and showed them, transfigured, then covered it back again. I said, don't tell anybody. Glory. That same glory will come into our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. So there is glory. The riches of that glory. And when that glory is in our hearts, you know, it's a strong hope. That gives, it motivates you. It motivates you and I to go to any length to experience what God has promised. Amen. Very important that we understand that, okay? So we see that that God has raised apostles and prophets, and that's the hallmark of the apostle, is wisdom, deep spiritual wisdom. Of course, you know, they also have the fruit of the Spirit, because it's something that they have worked in. They have worked out the word of God. The word has become and is becoming more and more flesh. Amen. Okay, so that they've worked it out and they keep working it out, you know. And of course, then you see the signs and wonders, but through the anointing of the power of the Spirit without measure that rests upon them. Okay, so we see that in the Acts of the Apostles, on Paul, on Peter, you know. But the key part of it is the wisdom. Amen. All right, and God expects us to honor them, to love them, to obey them, and to serve them. God, in fact, equates. The way you treat oversight as the way you treat him. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. So really, no, God looks at how we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians. And we beseech you, brethren, to what? Number one, know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. The first thing is that they labor. He said, talk about prayer. I don't cease to pray for you. They labor in prayer. They labor in the word to bring out the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and they deposit it at your fingertips. What you read in the Bible, you didn't see it. They will give it to you free of charge. But it comes with a price. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen. I mean, you know, in this house, we have a rich heritage. Amen. Let's give Pastor and Mommy a super hand. We can do better than that. If that word has saved your soul, it's saving the soul of your children. Amen. If not for fathers, what would have happened? Tossed to and fro. Today, they will say, come here for your miracle. Whereas the miracle is inside you. You are your miracle. The key is inside you. Yes, the kingdom is within. And the key to your miracle is inside you. It's in your heart. Believe. Obey. That's it. And you unlock the door to the miracle. Bible says you prosper as your soul prospers. So when your soul prospers, guess what? The door will open. And they have not made the devil that can shut it. If you have been prospering in your soul, naturally the door will open in his time. Amen. So you don't have to do it with your own hand. Wait for his time. And continue to prosper in your soul. Amen. So that's what Paul was teaching. That's what we were talking about last week. That apostles are special messengers. I know we need to pray for them. And that God will preserve them. And bless them. Because without them, look at Ephesians chapter 4. We can't enter into our destiny. Without them. Now you can say, I love God, but you need them. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, next verse, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, next verse, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. There's a place for revelation knowledge. Amen. Unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Next verse. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of, by the sleight of magu-magu and cunning craft, whereby the lying way to deceive. Next verse. But speaking the, what did we say we need to have? Truth. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. God will not be satisfied until we grow up in the truth and become like Christ. And you need them to be able to get there. Amen. So we said this, and God rewards us with the borrowed anointing. You know, when the Christ is being established in our hearts. The Bible talks about the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then God then releases the anointing, because he can then trust us, you know, with that anointing without measure. Amen. And then last week we also spoke about faithfulness. We said faithfulness and grace, you know, work together. We said faithfulness is trustworthiness and stability under pressure. When you're under pressure to lie or to cheat or to break your promise or change your position, you know, and faithfulness is a force, is a fruit of the Spirit that emanates from our hearts and continues to flow into your soul and keeps your soul faithful. Amen. All right, and we grow in it. You know, and we said that faithfulness, you know, is important. If you are faithful in little, you become ruler of a much. Let's look at that. Luke 16:10-12. Let's read it together. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Next verse. So it doesn't matter how much is that thing about being faithful in the little things. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If God can't trust you with money, are you talking about wisdom? You would have used, you turned the stone to become bread. So that's why God has to. No, money is not. May God deliver us. Like mommy said, money is a servant. Brethren, money must not run our lives. We send money on errand, and he will come back and give us feedback. It's not him that will be sending us on errand and be running to and fro. We do this, go up, go down, go. No, we will send it on errand. Amen. And he will come back. Bible says, cast your bread upon many waters, and you will have it back. Amen. So it's important. Next verse. And if you have not been faithful, you didn't read it though. In that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? Very important. Faithfulness is important to God. We must learn to be faithful. Amen. It's the key to our inheritance. Bible says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Bible says, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Faithfulness is key. So it's something that we acquire. We said it, and we said that, you know, the way we acquire it is really by the grace of God. Amen. We said the grace of God is the unmerited favor of God that causes God to release eternal life into our spirits. Okay, so it's that compassion or favor that allows God to release that life on the inside into our spirits. Amen. And when we receive eternal life, that nature, so the issue is a nature issue. The sin nature, you know, is in the soul and in the body. The divine nature is on the inside. There's no vacuum. We drive out the sin nature by the divine nature. We flush it out progressively. Amen. And flush out every nook and every cranny. Okay. So is that nature the body? We receive that nature by grace through faith. So we come to God, Father, we confess our sins. We receive forgiveness. So we don't pay the penalty of going to hell. There's a cleansing of our soul from condemnation and that guilt conscience. And life then comes into our spirits. And as we receive the life measures, we then pray, and in that place of prayer, we pull down strongholds and we release that life into the soul. So it occupies where the sin was occupying. And it begins to show. Amen. So it's not, Christianity is a supernatural life. Yes, it involves meeting moral standards, moral codes, but it is not primarily a moral a life that you live. It is a spiritual life that is done through a relationship with God and by the release of supernatural spiritual power. So that you can operate even in unwholesome circumstances or situations by the power of a divine life. Amen. So that's how we're supposed to do it, and it's that nature that makes us more like Him, and we then become faithful by following faithful people. Bible says those follow those who through faith and patience have inherited the promise. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 7, and believe. No. Hebrews 13 is what I want. Okay. But so remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of. First Thessalonians said, remember those who labor among you and are over you and admonish you. They admonish us with the word of God. So remember them who have the rule over you, whose faith follow as faithfulness, considering the end of their conversation. Amen. So you have to see a role model to be able to follow. You can't follow it in abstract. Elisha had Elijah. The disciples had Jesus. Amen. We have pastor and mommy. Amen. Let's give God a super hand. Amen. So we have our own role model. Like Pastor said one day, he said, big man. I said, sir, it doesn't run in our family. And there's no big man in our family. Who will I say, Mofijo? So, sir, I don't have it. So he said, okay, I agree. Alright? So big manism is not in the kingdom. Amen? In the kingdom is the humble that are exalted. Alright. Amen. So that's what we did last week. We just move on quickly. Wow. Look at that recap. All right, verse 3. Let's read it. Verse 3, Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. The first quality we see about mature spiritual leadership, which we must copy, is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And thanksgiving reflects a grateful heart. It means that your heart is so full of thanks that it overflows. And people just, thank you. Oh, thank you. Mommy comes to mind. Just naturally. And Grandma Mudukbe. Okay. And it's a beautiful name. But mommy will say, Eshe Gonyo, thank you. Well done. Eshe, God bless you. Thank you. All in one breath. So much thanksgiving. Why? Let me ask you a question. What is our own heart full of? How long does it take before thanksgiving comes out of our hearts? When difficult situations come our way. When we hear news about the progress of others, what is our heart response? Brethren, it should be thanksgiving. But is it thanksgiving? God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. Amen. God will have mercy on us. On me too in Jesus' name. Don't pray for yourself alone. Pray for me. Amen. Bible says, in everything... Let's say together, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thanksgiving is the will of God. If we're not living a life of thanksgiving, we're not fulfilling all of the will of God. And it reflects our faith that God is in control. Now, we say God is in control. I'm telling you, when you're afraid, you say, God is in control. God is in control. You say it, but you don't have the conviction that he ought to have. God wants to change that today in Jesus' name. Amen. So, thanksgiving reflects faith. Faith in what? One, faith in the mercy of God. It could be worse. Yes, so it could be worse. Job was in so much suffering. But you know it could have been worse. He was so open, Satan could have killed him. It was God that limited it. So thanksgiving, the first thing you must, is by revelation, brethren, is to understand that it's of the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. He says somewhere in Job, say, thine iniquity, God exacted of thee less than thy iniquity deserveth. If God were to requite our sin with the way we really deserve it, it's because of the sure mercies of David. Let's give God a clap of him. Amen. God is merciful. Brethren, be grateful to God for mercy. He leaves room for thanksgiving. One of Fayopele. It could be worse if Satan had. The Bible says the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Satan doesn't show mercy. So if you say, so John, where some went, some remain, just be giving thanks to God. That was not Satan's plan. The plan was to finish everything, but we are not under his power in Jesus' name. Bible says we have been delivered from the power of darkness. Amen. So sometimes when we leave the fender open, God steps in and says, no. But you must understand it by revelation, not say, ah, see what happened. Compare myself to this one. Ah, yeah. No. Bible says, in everything, give thanks. We're not thanking God for it. We are thanking God in it. We are showing God that, Lord, I believe you are in control. And thanksgiving is evidence to heaven and to hell that you believe God is in control. Amen. Number two reason why we give thanks is that God has a plan. Look at Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Give me the New King James Version. New King James. Thank you. Jeremiah 29:11. Let's read it together. This is speaking about you and I. So read it personally. Read it as if God is talking to you personally. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. It's King James. New King James. New King James. Thank you. Oh, you don't have New King James. Oh, okay. Well, let me just, because I think that's so important to read it. Right. Sorry, just a moment. Jeremiah 29, right, verse 11. And I read, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has a hope. He has a future. And guess what? Satan cannot stop it. He may delay it, but he cannot stop it. So the key here is that you key into revelation by faith that God, this is not the end. Don't bawl and start crying and start. God hates murmuring. God hates complaining. The ground opened up the other day. And that we murmur and complain because everything is in the now. But we have to have a hope. It's an anchor for the soul. A future and a hope. Okay? And we read in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Where we spoke about the hope of his calling. You know, God gives us revelation concerning Christ in us. Amen. And by instructions through the spiritual fathers, we begin to obey those instructions, and you begin to see that hope progressively being realized. You see yourself becoming more like God. You become more patient. used to be angry before. Now, it takes a lot more to get you angry. And even when you're angry, it's not for so long a time. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Brethren, it is that experience of the hope that makes you strong in faith. That if this one came to pass, surely every other thing God said is coming to pass. Look at Colossians chapter 1. No, Colossians chapter 3. I believe 3. Yes, 3 in verse 3. Yes, 12 to 15. Let's read it. Colossians 3, 12 to 15. Yes. Now, incidentally, giving thanks. Okay, verse 12. Yes. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of meekness, long-suffering. Next verse. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Next verse. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection or perfectness. Next verse. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Is a consequence of godly hearts. Is like contentment. Thanksgiving comes out of contentment. When your heart, Bible says, godliness to contentment is great gain. When your life is becoming more godly, you see the hope of Christ. You see Christ becoming a reality in your mind. You know how you were before. I know how I was before. And you see yourself changing. Then it encourages you to know that, if this one, Bible says, experience worketh hope. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Romans 5. Well, let's go to Romans 5. Verse 1. 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of glory. Next verse. And not only so, but we glory in. Is it possible to do that? Brethren, it is. Let's read it again. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing by revelation that tribulation worketh, makes you more consistent. I'm not going to agree. Next verse. And patience worketh of victory, of becoming like Christ. So God allows situations to come against us. But in that situation, you pray. In that situation, he reminds you of the hope. In that situation, you are patient. And gradually, you get the victory. When you get the victory over that one, then another one comes. So it's from one victory to another victory to another victory to another victory. And that's why it says, tribulation worketh experience. Tribulation worketh patience. And patience worketh experience. And then experience worketh hope. That everything God said is coming to pass. If I can see X, Y, Z, no way. Everything is coming to pass. And that is what keeps us established. Amen. That's what God wants us to have. So the more like God we are, the more thankful we are. And of course, that's also true because ingratitude is a spiritual force. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 2, it talks about, in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. It talks about unthankful, unholy. It's all there. So it's a force. It's the force in the air. And we overcome it by the blood, by the word, and by the Spirit. Amen. So it's important to understand that. Okay. All right. And look at Matthew 13, 44 to 46. So I think that's important. Let's read it together. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure. Hid in a... Treasures of wisdom and revelation are hidden. Amen. Which when a man found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. That's the kingdom. Next verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Next verse. And when he had found one, how many pearls? One. Christ is the pearl of great price. That one price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now you say, is that wisdom? Yes, because that pearl will buy everything back again and more change on top. Bible says that the Bible says that godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and the one that is to come. So you're not losing anything, but it's a revelation. That revelation must be there, and it comes by contending for the faith. You stand your ground. You believe what the word says. Don't believe the scripture that you prefer. Put your faith on what the word of God and the purpose of God is. Amen. The purpose of perfection. Don't be quoting Philippians 4:19 when you have not fulfilled the condition. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Some scriptures, just go and lay hold on it. May God have mercy on us. Just be saying, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's better. It's better. Because then you are in line with the will of God. If it's the will of God, you're not going to lose. The whole earth revolves on the will of God. It revolves on the will of God. So to align yourself to the will of God, the Bible says, this is the will of God concerning you. So even if you are out of the will of God, when you start with thanksgiving, guess what? God begins to reroute you back to the will of God. Says, this is the will of God. So if you are in thanksgiving, once you start giving thanks, you are already positioning, as far as God is concerned, you are going back to the will of God. That's the key. The will of God. And the will of God is key, brethren. The will of God is key. We must learn to submit to the will of God. Amen. That's key. Okay. So how do we do this? We learn, to cultivate thanksgiving by a lifestyle of prayer and meditating on the mercy of God to us. Think of His mercies. Psalm 89 verse 1 says, in that song that we sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Amen. Let's read together. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord for where? Forever. For 2 days. Only when things are going my way. Only when I have things coming to me. When I'm in difficult situations. Forever. It's part of it. Alright? Every time. Forever. With my mouth will I make known thy... We are dealing with God. He is faithful. That is His character. He doesn't change. Next verse. For I have said, now this is something we have to say to ourselves. I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very, which heavens? These heavens. Let mercy be built up. Yeah. Think of the goodness of God. Think of the mercy of God. Don't think about the one you don't have. Thank Him for the one you have. Give Him praise for the one you have. Think of where He could have been if not for the mercy of God. And then lift up your head and stop looking down. Amen. Amen. This is the will of God concerning us. So mercy, when you think of the mercy of God and what mercies are accomplishing in your life, brethren, thanksgiving will come out like a fountain. It will just come out spontaneously because God is having mercy. Bible says it's of the Lord's mercies. Bible says that by the mercies of God, we prove what is that good, what is that acceptable, and what is that perfect will of God. It's mercy that takes you from one level to the other. So there's room for improvement so long as you are holding on to the mercy. Mercy activates the covenant of life. Bible talks about Hebrews 4. Let's look at Hebrews 4:16 quickly. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may what? Obtain mercy. So even sometimes you don't want to pray. You don't feel like praying. Amen. You are so overwhelmed. You can't even open your mouth to pray. What do you say? Mercy. And in that mercy, God will minister life, encourage you, and then you pick up your Bible. Father, I confess my sins. In Jesus' name, I have life. And then you begin to pray. And as you pray, all of a sudden, you begin to see clearly that it is not the end. I can do this. I can do that. And before you know it, that tribulation works patience. It didn't appear at the beginning. So brethren, we must hold on to the mercy of God. Amen. It's so important. And we must learn to be thankful to God through men. When God uses men to bless us. So when God uses men, don't say it's God that did it. Thank the men. And thank God too. Amen. It's very important. You know, the Yorubas have a saying. That any ashelore ti odupe. That means that if you are kind to someone and you do good to them and they don't say thank you, it's as if a robber came and stole your things. That's what it's like. So it's important to say, to be appreciative. You can never be over appreciative. Thank you. Thank you. When you see them again the next day, oh, I'm so grateful for what you did there yesterday. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's important. It's the nature of God. Amen. Amen. All right. So, and we see this in the life of Paul and Silas. You know, we know the story, you know, where Paul and Silas were in Acts 15. They were in they were, they had cast out the devil of a demonized young girl, you know, and then they beat them up, you know, and Bible says at midnight. The darkest hour, by the mercy of God, Paul and Silas prayed. It's not easy to pray, but they prayed. And they turned that situation on its head. God sent an earthquake. God's going to send an earthquake. If we learn to be thankful in situations, we will see God move on our behalf. Amen. It's so important that to be grateful heart submits to God. The more grateful you are, the more you submit to the will of God and to those that are in authority over you. Because you realize, you know, there's nothing worth holding on to. The glory on the inside is more than enough. It's more than enough. And you have that blessed assurance that that glory will bring everything else in its time. In gratitude or insufficient gratitude stems from not appreciating God, His mercy, and the work the mercy has accomplished. Either because the work of mercy is too small. The work of the mercy has accomplished is so small. So you don't, even you know, it's not important to you. It's about our priorities, brethren. Amen. You know, and this keeps us independent and ungodly. So the hallmark of someone who's ungrateful, apart from they don't say, because Pastor taught us the other day, you can say thank you with your mouth. You can also say thank you with your actions. And actions speak louder than words. They do. a lifestyle, a change in your lifestyle shows true gratitude. Becoming more godly, giving more time to the things of God. No, God did this for you. God did that for you. Give more time. It shows you, when you commit more to God, and you are more obedient to God, and you spend more time to God, and for God, and you give more to the things of God, it is a message that you are truly grateful. It's not just thank you. It's with actions. Amen. And brethren, I want to end today with two characters in the Bible, the story of Zacchaeus and the story of Hezekiah. Let's look at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, Luke chapter 19, verses 4-9. All right, we know the story. Jesus was coming, and like we said, this is about our priorities. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, but he heard Jesus was coming and he wanted to see Jesus. Do we want to see Jesus? Do you want to know where he dwells? Do you want to follow him? Do you want to become like him? Zacchaeus just wanted to see. So he was a short man because he was stunted spiritually. So he was in a negative situation. But he was stunted. But as soon as he said, I want to see. And that's the motivation that makes us thankful. I would see Jesus. More of Jesus in me. More of Jesus in my heart. So he climbed up the tree. And then Jesus saw him. Okay. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Next verse. And he made haste, obeying instruction, and came down, and did what? Received him joyfully. He has not given him anything. He has not done anything for him. It's just the fact that I have Jesus with me, and side to side, this man in my house. Next verse. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was going to be guest with the man that is a sinner. They didn't see Zacchaeus' heart. But God saw the heart. Jesus saw his heart. Amen. And God sees your heart. Amen. So, but I want to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, God sees your heart. Keep that heart on him. Amen. Keep that heart on the purpose, the hope of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Next verse. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, nobody asked him to say anything. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, he had already done that. I restore him what? But he practically gave away everything. But everything that he had, everybody. Next verse. Everybody that he had defrauded. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. See Zacchaeus' appreciation and gratitude. It's not thank you, Jesus. It's action. Nobody asked him. Independent. Lord, honestly, if you know how much this means to me, Lord, so that you can stay with me. That's why he gave it away. So that you will be pleased to dwell with me. All those crooked ways, I put them away. Everybody that I've defrauded, come. Don't worry. Fourfold. What's the figure? Fourfold. And he paid them off. And Jesus is still with me. The pearl of great price. That was the pearl of great price. Now compare him to Hezekiah. May God have mercy on us. But we need to teach these things so that we can learn from their lives. Amen. Hezekiah, 2 Kings chapter 20. Now we just read verses 1, 3, then 5. Okay. In those days, let's read together. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Next verse. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord God, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And so happened to be true that, it was in the past. Next verse. Verse 5. So God talked to Isaiah again and said, turn again and tell Hezekiah, captain of my people, thus said the Lord thy God, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. Next verse. And I will add unto thy days how many years? And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Not for Hezekiah's sake. So, under David's covering. But let's move on. Next verse. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil. And he what? You're not saying it properly. He what? Recovered. Okay. It's very strange to me. Next verse. Look, go to verse 12. And at that time. Before we go to verse 12, look at verse 8. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me? I thought you were recovered. Look at unbelief. Hezekiah was so unbelieving. When the prophet said, you will surely die, he didn't show unbelief. It's surprising. He didn't show unbelief. In fact, he believed it immediately. Are you more prone to believing negative things? You are expecting something negative. And you can't believe it when you see something positive. It's like, how long will it last? When will it go away? He prayed immediately, he had the bad news. And when he did good news, the Bible says, he recovered. So that thing went away. And he was like, you said I will go into the temple. You are dealing with God. So it's just important to show the level of unbelief in Hezekiah. So, brethren, it's not past glory. It's not where I used to be. It's not what I used to do. It's what are you doing now? Present continuous. Amen. It's not. And we can see that from Hezekiah. Look at verse 12. Anyway, God just did it all the same for David's sake. Now, at that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Next verse. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, as if he healed himself. They came to see him because he had been sick. And Hezekiah didn't even think of telling Isaiah. He didn't even think of telling God. Hezekiah just, he didn't think deep at all. Pastor always says, anybody on the road, I'm up there. But when you don't think deeply, okay? And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointments and all the house of his armor, all that was his treasures. Oh, can you imagine? And there was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Next verse. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said, what said these men? What did they give you that you are doing this? From whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. Next verse. And he said, what have they seen in thy house? And this guy answered, all things that are in mine house. Can you see how self-centered, self-absorbed Hezekiah had become? All that in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures. I have showed them not. Next verse. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. And next verse. Behold, the days come that all that is in thy house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried away. It was a generational blessing. And at Hezekiah's level, he disconnected. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Ingratitude. Next verse. And of thy sons which shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Next verse. I thought that it would have been sober. And Hezekiah then said, when he heard all that, then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good? Yes, it's good. Yeah, if peace and truth be in my days. Close to good. Selfish or selfish, he started from ingratitude. He was not grateful for the extra time God gave him. Somebody that was appointed to die, that was the fair judgment of God. He faced the wall and asked God for mercy. And yet he did not think of those mercies. Every day he did not meditate on those mercies. Compare him to David. After God delivered David, compare him. David behaved. Even when he was sick and they had to put a girl next to him. David's flesh was dead as far as that thing was concerned. He killed it by the power of the Holy Spirit. After having been almost suffered wahala once. But look at Hezekiah. So sometimes, brethren, the fact that people suffer tribulation doesn't make them repent. Brethren, our hearts, we need to exercise our hearts in godliness, exercise our hearts in the truth, exercise our hearts in the love of God, exercise our hearts in humility, exercise our hearts in thanksgiving. So that we will be content with godliness. And every other thing God will add in due course. So for small things, we will give God much thanks. And when we do that, our hearts will be in the will of God. The Bible says, this is the will of God. When you give thanks, your heart is in the will of God. Amen. Let us pray. A heart of thanksgiving. Are you faithful in the little that you know? What God has revealed to you, the instructions that you have heard, how much are we doing? The less instructions you obey, the more open our hearts will be to negative influences. Hezekiah had stopped walking in the truth. His heart had been taken over by the deceivableness of unrighteousness. And did he know? Bible says we are not of the darkness. We are not children of the night. We are children of the day. Walk in the truth. Welcome the truth. Hold fast to the truth. Study the truth. Exercise yourself in the truth. submit to the truth. And those who bring it to you, who are set by God in authority. Hezekiah should have submitted to Isaiah. That would have been his salvation. Zacchaeus submitted to Jesus. And under Jesus' covering, he received revelation that was the correct thing to do. Restitution. Nobody asked him to do it. It was a free will offering. Brethren, God is asking you and I today, how grateful are you for where you are today in God? For how much of His mercy and love you and I have enjoyed? How much protection? How much preservation? Do you have the blessings that money cannot buy? Joy, peace, good health. Be grateful. Let us take this song. Give thanks with a grateful heart.
We give thanks to the Holy One. We give thanks because it's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
We give thanks.
Left hand on our forehead. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, teaching me and showing me that my joy, my hope, my strength is in Christ alone. Christ in me is the hope of glory. And so with Christ as my pearl of great price, I declare, Father, I ask that you will have mercy on me. You will help me so that I will continue to set my heart upon the hope of Christ in me, the hope of glory. And continually, as this hope becomes reality in my life, causing tribulation that comes against me, to work patience and patience, to work experience of the Christ in my conduct, in my heart, in my life. Help me to be thankful. Help me to be grateful, knowing that you that has given me your Son on the inside, how much more will you with him give me every other thing? Thank you, Father, because I will not murmur. I will not complain. I will not grumble, but I will be content and I'll be thankful by what you're doing in my life and by how much you have blessed me, knowing that you are faithful. And you that has begun this good work, you will perfect it. You will take it to its end in Christ Jesus, giving me a future and a hope that will not make me ashamed, causing me to go beyond the veil and to lay hold upon the fullness of Christ. Thank you, Father, for establishing me so I will not be tossed to and fro, but by holding on to the truth of your word, I will be established. I will not be shaken. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in tongues. Zande bebe kafa, rasebanto, bedeneberia, rakam, bing, bendibosea, zafre kankea, ramape, barokatea, rasesan, rededebela, rando, bedenebeka, rapaguan, kan, dopesela, rede, mededebe, rado, panka, bekeleveda, randobo, bedelevesata, jefremida, bangeleva, robo, bedelevetata, rose. Can donde belelevenio relelevecan relelevetoto rosesea renebo melevela renebo becas tenevento dorsa sangelelevesho canavamaria runde peveniana. In Jesus' name.